Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Let's face it, New Yorkers, we're overscheduled and overloaded with information. We lunch at our desks, we run to back-to-back appointments, we're texting on our phones and emailing on our BlackBerries. We seem to have forgotten how to have free time, and it's apparently affecting our ability to think creatively and innovatively. Now, was it always like this? What can we do to make a little time just to stop and think? Well, we've got some help for you. And here to explain how to retrain your brain for a more creative life, we have David Levy. He's a professor at the Information School at the University of Washington and the inventor of mind maps, Tony Buzan. Welcome to WNYC.
Nice to be with you.
Yes, thank you.
David, let's begin with you. How did we get so bogged down? Can we just blame it all on technology, or is there something wrong with us?
Well, I don't think it's either the technology itself or us, but rather a mode of living, a mode of living that we've gotten into in the modern age, which goes all the way back to industrialization. I mean, ever since the Industrial Revolution, the attempt has been to go faster and faster and take on more and more. And the problem is that thinking, deep creative thinking, isn't something that you can schedule into a kind of factory style of life.
But wasn't computer technology, isn't so much of this digital age supposed to help us have more time to live more efficiently and therefore be able to enjoy life?
Well, in fact, it's a double-edged sword. If you go back to the roots, the father, if you like, or the grandfather of the World Wide Web, his name was Vannevar Bush, or Vannevar Bush, actually believed that the new technologies that he foresaw, which eventually led to the web, would give us more time to think and would allow us more leisure time. The problem, I think, is that we have taken all of that potential free time and, to put it kind of crassly, we're spending our time Googling rather than thinking.
Tony, let's bring you in. You're the inventor of mind maps. Now, I read this and I thought, I'm thinking all the time. I'm thinking on the subway. I'm thinking when I'm standing in line at the grocery store. Are you telling me that my thoughts aren't that profound or creative or innovative? What really is the difference between the kind of creative, deep thinking versus what we think we do all the time? Aren't we constantly thinking?
We are constantly thinking, but I'd love to comment deeply on that.
Please.
What has happened in the last, I think, probably 50 years since the beginning of the technological and information revolution is that we've been thinking about managing time. We've been thinking about managing information, thinking about managing knowledge. What we have not been thinking about is managing ourselves. So we're trying to manage time when we should be trying to manage ourselves within time. And I hate to be boring, but I actually agree with David, so you don't have much controversy in the program here, that the brain thinks in many different ways. So the type of thinking you were talking about where you're on the train, you're in the car, you're at your office, you're at the desk, and you're thinking, I have to do this, I must do that, that's an interesting person, I must get the shopping done, I must solve this problem, I must phone X, Y, Z. That is a very quick surface type of thinking, and that's one level of necessary thinking. But there is a much deeper, more profound form of thinking, and that's the kind of thinking that people get when they are on their own and when they are relaxed. So, I mean, I can ask you and ask the listeners, where are you physically when you have your most profound ideas, when you get those sudden realizations, when floods of memories come back? Where are you physically located?
Sure, that is something to think about. Let's take a quick break here. I'm Alice Rehan for Brian Lehrer, and this just in from WNYC Newsroom. A Midtown Manhattan subway station has been evacuated after reports of a strong order. Service on the B is suspended, while D and E trains are bypassing the 7th Avenue subway station at 53rd Street. The fire department says two people are being evaluated after being overcome by fumes. Emergency services are on the scene, but there's no word yet on what's causing the smell. WNYC will keep you informed as we learn more. gentlemen, back to this fascinating discussion on how we can actually think more and think productively, which is, I think, what you're getting at. David, what is it that we need to do in order to think the sort of thoughts that may actually help us live, rather than thinking those thoughts about going down our list of things to do, thinking those repetitive things, even chewing over things perhaps circularly?
Well, I think basically what we need to be able to do is to quiet our minds sufficiently that we can allow these deeper questions to arise. And I think one of the real enemies of that potential for greater quiet and calm is the way we live our lives, scheduled minute to minute, running from, interrupted by cell phones and so on. So I agree with Tony as well that we need to find more than moments, periods of time in our day and probably even places that encourage us to enter into these states of mind of greater quiet and reflection that are actually natural to us as human beings but are simply not encouraged by the way we're living today.
But practically speaking, how do we do that? Can that happen on the subway? Do we have to go find a park? Do we have to set aside a room in our homes? I mean, for us in New York, it may just be one room that we do all of our living in. So how does that happen practically?
Well, the good and the bad news is that each one of us will discover that for ourselves. I mean, it's one thing to make a list and say, well, yes, go take a walk in nature or maybe get some exercise or read a book or listen to music. But each one of us has particular ways that we ourselves can really only know for ourselves that allow us to quiet down. I mean, I know for me, I'm a longtime meditator. I spend part of each morning sitting very quietly, and that's part of the attempt to start the day in a much quieter and more attentive and reflective state of mind.
Hmm. Tony, the New Yorker called you the biggest name in memory. Tell me about your invention.
Thank you.
Well, it was from the New Yorker, but tell me about your invention, the mind map. How does it work?
Well, the mind map is a technique that uses what is commonly known as both sides of the brain. So we have been taught in school to take notes in a linear verbal mode. So when I was at university, I was getting desperate because I was taking more and more notes. They were all in blue or black, and that's a monotone, and a monotone is monotonous, monotonous. Monotonous is boring. And so I was losing the plot. And I went to the library, and I said, I need a book on how to use my brain. And they said, the medical section's over there. And I said, I don't want to operate on it. I want to learn how to use it. And they said, oh, there are no books on that. So I began to investigate how we think, and you'll be intrigued to know yourself that radio is the most visual medium.
Hmm.
Why? Because with radio, with sound, with voice, you have to conjure up in your brain the image.
Sure.
So the human brain thinks, and that's all of us, in images and connections. So a mind map is like a map of a city. If you're wanting to map out the solution to a problem, as in fact happened on 9/11 at Con Edison, they put the image of the catastrophe in the center, and then they branched out, like the branches of a tree, the main areas that needed to be dealt with, and dealt with it in that way. So it's a map of the way in which you think. And in terms of thinking and relaxation, field surveys I've done globally indicate that the places where people are, where they are actually most creative, are shaving, in the shower, in the bath, walking in nature, on the toilet, long-term driving, long-term swimming, running, basically in bed before, during, and after sleep. And so the brain thinks in the big way, the creative way, the paradigm-shifting way, when it is relaxed and basically alone. So in order to encourage that, we need to program in our day, like David did with his meditation, times when we can actually give ourselves space. And that time is as important as any other meeting, a meeting with yourself,
sure,
a meeting with your mind.
May I add something to that?
Yes,
also,
very briefly.
Alice, which is that I think the challenge is that it's not just a matter of personal discipline, but we have to look at the environments in which we work and the permission that we're given or not given. I mean, if you can decide to go off and spend some quiet time, which is tremendously important, but on the other hand, if everybody is jumping on
well,
you,
well, gentlemen,
for
I'm sorry to cut in. We actually are out of our time. We'll have to do our thinking offline and off the radio. Great to have you both. We've been talking about how to make time to think with David Levy and Tony Buzan.